Ash Sutton turn a silver stone into a golden stone, or will Ingram take a further lead at the top? This is the Silverstone preview.
Hello,
I said you'd hate it.
Hello and welcome back to the British Touring Car Podcast. We are back once again. We've had a 3-week break coming into the penultimate round of the season. And as you heard, we are going to Silverstone this weekend. Well, one of us is at
least. I am going to Silverstone. You've spent too much money watching Everton, which is a terrible waste of money.
Cars.
Yeah.
Yes.
The latter, I can understand spending money on. The former, to go and watch a 0-0 in the cold, I can't quite understand.
It wasn't that cold, but yeah.
It's up north. It's cold.
Anyway, you're off to Silverstone this weekend.
I am indeed.
Are you looking forward to it? Because I know it's certainly not your favourite track.
No, it's not my favourite track. I'm going because I like to go racing, and it is quite local. It's only about an hour up the road for us. Having seen the forecast, I'm less inclined to be happy than I was 24 hours ago, because 24 hours ago when we looked...
What do you always say? That's always got time to change.
Well, it has, because when we looked last night in the pub, it was going to be drizzly.
Yep.
It's now going to be full-on rain, apparently, according to today's estimates. So, personally, I hope it is a wet day, because I think that makes Silverstone far better, and I think it is one of the circuits on the calendar that can cope with water better than most others, because it is a internationally renowned circuit where we get so many different types of racing going there, that if there is a circuit that can cope with a puddle, it's more likely to be Silverstone than some of the other circuits that we go to.
And I think we also need quite a large spanner thrown in the works with regards to a title race. Currently.
There is that as well. So just before we get into the preview fully, some news has come out today ahead of record, which is nice.
Can't wait for another bit tomorrow.
Yeah, but well, as soon as we finish on here, basically. The news that Nick Halstead will not be returning to the grid next year is put out on his Facebook. There's going to be a special livery at Brands Hatch, it appears, as a sort of a farewell from what I'm reading. So, yeah. Nick has obviously been in and out of the touring cars had a couple of years in more recent times and has decided to call it a day. So I think that's pretty much all there is to say, isn't it?
Until he gets a lucrative offer next season at some point, which obviously he had this season.
Anyway.
But we shall see. We shall see.
Let's jump straight into the Silverstone preview. Then we have a whopping six corners to go around.
You want me to spell that out on screen?
Six corners.
Yeah, six corners and, what, two braking zones?
Yep, 1.85 miles, debuted in 1959. The reason I get so angry is because pre-COVID, we were going to have the other loop of the circuit added. We've never had that since. And I swear, I could be wrong, but in the Super Tourer days, I swear they did the full circuit. I just remember driving the full circuit on Toka Touring cars anyway.
Yeah.
And I know they say, the lap time would be longer, all the support series. Well, that's a you problem. Make it work. Yeah. Make it work.
Charles, if you have any say in this, we know you listen, obviously. If you haven't seen it already, we did an interview with Charles back at Donington. Have a little word with Mr. Gow for us and see if you can get something worked in, because I'm pretty sure most of the drivers would like to try a different circuit and a different layout of Silverstone.
Yeah, it's weird because a lot of drivers do sort of really like going to Silverstone from what they feel. But I wonder if that's because it's... Some circuits you take your brain out to drive.
Yep.
I wonder if Silverstone's a little bit of a Sunday afternoon stroll in some ways, because it's
it certainly won't be if it's wet.
And also I have to say as well, I'm going to bring this up, I saw the TCRs at the other loop last year before, and it was brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant. And I don't see why we can't, if we can't use the full circuit, why we can't use the other iteration, which I think is better for racing anyway.
I tend to agree, and that doesn't happen often.
It doesn't. Right, Sam. Who has the qualifying lap record?
Now, I would instantly jump to someone like Ash Sutton, but this was the circuit where Napa didn't take that pole in 2023. So I'm going to go for Tom Ingram, and I think it might have been last year.
Nope.
Okay.
If I was to tell you it's not been broken since 2020, would you be surprised?
Oh, yes, I would. BMW?
Nope.
Oh, go on then.
It was Dan Kamish with a 57.3, which would have been in the Honda in 2020. Yep. The racing lap record...
I'm going to go for Ash Sutton on this one.
You'd be wrong again.
Okay.
It was 2022, if you want to have another go for 2022. So that's the year before the Napa dominance.
The Hyundai engine wasn't as great then. I don't think it was Hyundai. Toyota.
No, it was Jake Hill.
Of course.
57.6, which would have been in the BMW, or has that been the Audi?
No, BMW.
It was a BMW. Yeah. Okay, there you go. So, yes. Oh, yeah, was it the Rocket livery one, wasn't it? Yeah.
I'm amazed that they've stood since then.
Yeah, I am. So particularly when you had, I know that they didn't get pole in the dominant era of, of the 2023 season, but I'm surprised that between the three quick drives at Napa, they didn't break that. Yep. And as you say, the Hyundai engine, particularly when last season we both had, as I'm going to come to in a minute, Ingram and Sutton come from the back of the grid to the front of the grid.
Yep.
I'm surprised that we've not seen that broken since.
I think it will be this year.
I think
just because of how much power the cars are putting out now.
I think you're probably right. In terms of 2024, Ingram won the first race from Hill from Camish. Race two went the way of Jake Hill from Turkerton from Cook.
Yep.
So there's a little hint of a BMW.
A little hint.
And then race three was Ingram, Sutton. Sutton tried to yeet Ingram into Ketteringshire in the last corner.
Ketteringshire.
Cook got another podium that race as well. I've also, because I like doing some research, I know you've done a little bit as well.
I have done a little bit this week.
So I'm going to get all mine out the way, then you can fill in the gaps. So there is only really two drivers in the championship now. So I'm going to quickly quickly take us through the championship table. So Ingram leads by 32 points over Ash Sutton. Now, I have done the maths on this, and as we found out last night, my maths sometimes doesn't work. No. Managing to completely miscount an out in darts and getting the double, getting ready to celebrate the match win, and then realising what I had done. Sorry, everybody.
It was quite funny. It was.
Not so much for me. So that's 32 points. I'm confident on this one in the manufacturers. Yes. Alliance have 698. Accelerate have 697. That's a point difference.
That is, yes.
I'm confident on that one. In the teams, Virtue lead that. They have 642. Napa have 640. So that's a 2-point gap. So even though we're not seeing a great title fight at the top, I don't think, because I think it's all but done, dare I say, these other titles, and the other three I'm about to cover, well, two of the three, are also very, very close indeed. So I'll get the non-close one out the way. Yep. Restart lead independent teams by 428 points to PMRs with motor parts, etc., 336, which I've calculated to a 92-point
gap. It's a significant difference. Yes. And obviously, One Motorsport have dropped out midway through the season, and we know the difficulties that PMR have come into in this second half of the season. It's no real surprise that Restart are heading the way there.
In terms of the independent drivers, this is amazing. So Mikey Doble leads on 3-2-4. Dan Lloyd is 1 point back on 3-2-2. And Smiley is a further point back from Lloyd, so three off the top. It's been a bad week for my maths. and he's on 3-2-1. So that one really is flip a coin in the air.
Anyone can take it. If you have a non-finish of those three, you pretty much put it out of
curtains.
It.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, it's going to be a really tight finish in that.
And then the Jack says, I've got three still contenders in this. So DeLeon leads that on 3-6-9. 14 points back is Rainford on 3-5-5. And Osborne is still there. He's 45 points back on 3-2-4. He's there, but I think it's between the top two.
Yeah, he would need to have a dire weekend from BMWs with a couple of retirements or certainly non-scores.
Yes, agreed.
And you know how difficult that is to now happen in the Jack Series with how few competitors there are.
Yeah, and just a reminder for the independents, for the manufacturers, for all of ones that aren't the Drivers' Championship, finishing is enough. Because the field is smaller, if you finish, you'll still get points because you might finish 21st on the road, but fourth in that particular class, which will get you points. So this is where you might see somebody come into the pit lane, do a tyre change, be a lap down, but still come back out, because if they get classified at the end, they'll still score the points for that particular class, which when you've gone through the numbers there,
it can make a hell of a difference.
Exactly that. In terms of Ingram versus Sutton, then we've got to pretend there's a title fight on, even though I'm not convinced that there is. So in 2024, Ingram had the better of the Silverstone day with a first, very a fourth so. And a first. Sutton had a fourth, a 12th and a second. 2023, they both got caught up in race one in an incident and finished 22nd and 23rd in Ingram's favour.
But that caused a great fight back through the field.
It absolutely did. So Ingram then got a third and a second, and Sutton got a first and a third. So honours all pretty much even, I'd say, that weekend. I think Ingram may have slightly outscored because of fastest laps, and it doesn't really matter. It was very, very close.
Very tight.
And then in 2022, it's tight again. Ingram with 5-5-1, Sutton with 6-4-2. So again, Ingram just edging it, but there's not a lot of difference. However, I thought the honours are pretty well even between them at this track. But
we
you
had an interesting chat in the car last night.
We did indeed, yeah.
And you were like, oh, yeah, they're fairly close. There's only somehow a win or two possibly between them.
Well, you'd said that you expected Ingram to dominate this weekend. And I said, yes. Oh, come on now, and they're pretty good. Sutton's got as many wins as Ingram, if not more.
And then I looked this morning.
Yes, you did.
And Sutton's win at Silverstone, and I couldn't quite believe it. I had to count it twice, is one.
So there you go, listeners.
A single win at Silverstone.
What motivates Sam to do research is proving me wrong, but doesn't do research any other week.
Compared to Ingram having taken 8 wins.
Yeah, that is...
Which is astonishing.
That's a skew I really didn't expect to have. Okay, well, maybe one might have 5-3 or 6-4, you know, whatever, but to be 8-1 up, that is astonishing.
Yeah, he's... I think in his years within the touring cars, just at Silverstone, he scored 360 points.
That is a hell of
yeah.
What time did you wake up this morning?
Just as I was munching on my toast this morning, I thought, I'll have a little look.
Not leftover pizza?
No.
I didn't last too long.
So, yeah, I thought I'd have a little look, and yeah, he scored a hell of a lot of points at Silverstone.
Did you do Sutton's by comparison?
I haven't, no. Oh, okay. But because of the discrepancy in wins as well,
Sutton's
taken quite a few podiums along the way. The difference is too large.
Just for any new listeners, he can't score 360 points this weekend. The maximum he can score is 67.
67, including pole.
Point for pole, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, 32-point lead going into it. Obviously needs to come out of the weekend with 68 points to take it this weekend, which I don't think he's going to do.
No, I don't think
it went through my mind to put it in as a prediction, but then I thought realistically about it, and you have to really have a Sutton non-finish.
Probably two.
Or two, yeah. For it to really happen. So I didn't go down that avenue.
No, but I do think for Ingram this weekend that if he scores 3 top eights, then it's pretty much done. Unless Sutton wins all 3, I really don't see how. And I think Sutton needs to win probably 2 this weekend to stand any real chance. Because I've said this before on the podcast, both on the previews and the reviews, if Ingram finishes first, Sutton's normally second.
Yep.
Or in that
vice ball, versa.
Yeah, exactly. They're not generally finishing big gaps between each other, which is, I think, just really playing into Ingram's hands at this stage. And also, we know that Hyundai is an absolute beast this season, and they've done a fantastic job.
It is, yes.
Can I briefly mention BMW?
Okay, yeah.
They had a decent run out at Donington Park, I thought Jake Hill looked pretty good.
Yes.
Coming off the back of a decent, even better weekend, at Knock Hill.
Knock Hill, yes.
What do you expect this weekend? Part of me wants to think that they are back. Obviously, as I said last year, that Hill took a race win, and Colin Turkington did take a second place as well.
They were good here, and we've always sort of like cited this circuit as being more of a BMW circuit, because you've got a couple of large traction zones, and normally with a strong engine that they can normally build, they'll be good down the straights as well. I don't see that as much this weekend. I still think Hill is going to be there or thereabouts in sort of like 6th, 5th, 6th, 7th, that sort of area. I very much think that you've got those top two who will be fighting as long as weather or crashes or something doesn't come into play. And then you've got Camish and Robot. And Robot's hella consistent at the moment.
He is, yeah, massively.
And
so,
if he is not up there alongside Sutton or Camish or Ingram, then I'll be very surprised. And it kind of just edges Hill down ever bit more.
Yeah.
Which is why I think he's going to be there or thereabouts. He might sneak onto the podium. He might sneak a win if he gets a reverse grid favourably for him. But also the weather could be highly critical. If we're getting a rain this weekend, it needs to be really wet for the BMWs to do well, or it needs to be dry.
But if it is really wet, he's massively in the conversation, because he is a very good wet weather driver.
He is.
We've seen that throughout his touring car career. And he's been the best wet BMW driver that I can remember. And that includes Colin Turkington as well.
He just seems to be able to hook the car up and get it to do what he wants to do and still get the traction and the power down.
Yeah, agreed. So, yeah. Anybody you want to talk about in particular?
Toyota goes surprisingly well here.
Well, Cook does.
Well, one thing I want to say is that we had a really nice showing last time out from the M Sport engine in the Toyota.
Yes, we did. Yes.
So I do think that we're going to see a decent weekend from either both or one or the other of Shedden and Aaron Taylor Smith.
Well, the big question is, do they now just run that other engine for the rest of the season and get 3 weekends worth of data, or do they jump the gun and go, do you know what, it was chalk and cheese at Donington, which I think it was, if I'm being brutally honest. Cook went through the back through the field horrifically in race three. Do they just go, yeah, we don't need any more testing, that is clear, that engine is better, and just put it in all four?
Possibly. I think if they do put it on in all four, then we could well see Cook up there alongside the two of them as well. But it wouldn't surprise me if we see Sheddon and Aaron Taylor Smith with that engine and that setup finish inside the top 10 for maybe even a couple of races. They've certainly entered my predictions for this weekend.
Cook has for me as well. This week we've not actually shared predictions beforehand. It's got quite tight in the prediction race.
This could go down to the wire.
You're 2 points ahead, 1 point ahead.
It's one or two. It's not really far. Really close.
I've managed to pull back over the last couple of weeks, which has been very, very profitable for myself.
Yes.
So is it, before we go into predictions,
holding on to an early season lead at the moment.
You are. Before we go into predictions, is there anything else you want to discuss team-wise or driver-wise before we move across?
Previously, we know that obviously the Astra went strong here with PMR. They've settled into the Cupra quite nicely, I think. Certainly the car looks great in the livery.
Yes.
Something that I wasn't really expecting. And if Doble can hook it up this weekend, we know how quick he can be at Silverstone. And being such a short circuit, there's two arguments to make. There's either few places that you can lose time, or there's not many places that you can gain time.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a fairly condensed field, especially in qualifying. And we know what he's like in qualifying. He's always on the button, ready to go. So we could see a decent weekend from that Cupra.
My biggest worry is that I think it lacks race pace. I think over one lap, I think it has got pace. And we saw that Donington obviously got into the top six. Yes, we know he got disqualified for ride height infringement.
He's there on merit.
Exactly. But I do worry. We saw some strong showings from Cupras in the past where they've done well in qualifying, and then come the race, they just fall down the order. I know Doble is one of the better drivers that has been in a Cupra.
But if it rains as well.
Yeah, that
we always say that's the great leveller.
Yeah, absolutely. If it rains, all bets are off to a degree. But I think Doble will be stronger in qualifying than he will be in the race.
Yeah.
I think that's no fault of the team, that they've had to learn a whole new car just over halfway through the season. It's tough.
But I think that kind of sums up where I am with most of the important drivers, shall we say.
Okay, we'll get into our predictions after this very quick break. Before we get back to the action, this is just a quick reminder to make sure you have got the bell on, you're subscribed to all of our social media, and you are across everything we are doing.
Yeah, leave a comment down below. Who do you think is going to win the championship this year?
Ingram.
Or do you like the hair?
What are your thoughts about Sam for president? It's caused a riot.
It certainly has. But get comments down below. Make sure you comment on all our social media posts as well, because we love the discussions. And we'll be back again soon.
Right then, predictions. It's tight between us at the top as well, so we've got to make sure these last few weeks count in that competition. There are trophies on the line, let's just forget, and there is an award show in December. So
I've gone bold.
You've gone bold. Okay.
I probably shouldn't go bold because I am in the lead, very slender lead, but
I have had to do a little bit of mixing up because I'm thinking, where can I try and score points, but without going so bold that I'm chucking them away. So for pole position, you've gone for
Adam Morgan.
Okay. I don't think that's I don't think that's too out there. He'll be in a quick car with more boost.
He will.
I would say that he's
the line I'm going down.
I would say he's potentially the weakest of the four qualifiers this season in that team. But priest aside, I'm talking about the four that are there now.
I told you it was a bit rogue.
Well, I've got a bit rogue as well.
Okay.
I've gone Rowbottom.
Yeah, so he crossed my mind as well. He's been really quick.
Quick recently. He's got the bit between his teeth to try and finish third.
Yep.
I think he's currently fourth, which means he'll have a slight boost advantage over some of the drivers. If he can keep track limits off, and I don't know where they'll be doing it this weekend because it changes every single time. I imagine it'll be Cops. They'll be doing it there, you'd have thought.
Yep.
If he can keep... Yeah, but I think that goes for Morgan as well. Both of them have had track limit infringements, I'm fairly confident, throughout the season. Well, there is that, yeah. So, I think it won't be one of the people we might necessarily expect straight off the bat. So yeah, I'm going Robottom.
I've realised, having looked back through these from this morning, I've gone very high and die heavy on my race.
Oh, winners. Okay. Right, okay.
So I've gone for Proctor for a race win.
We keep doing that.
I think he might nick a race three or possibly finish like fourth in race one and get a race two victory.
Okay.
So I've gone for Proctor for one.
I've gone for Ingram for one because it's Silverstone and it's what he does around Silverstone.
I've gone for Ingram for two.
That is bold. So, I mean, this doesn't matter because it doesn't matter what order they're coming. But are you thinking back-to-back race one and two? Are you thinking one and three?
Either.
Doesn't really help my answer.
I think he could well go out and win race one.
Mm-hmm.
And then depending on the tyre allocation, depending on the weather as well, if we're going to get a wet weekend, then he could certainly go off and win race two.
Could win race three if he gets the reverse grid at six.
Exactly. But if he falls slightly back through the field, then I think he's then got enough pace in race three to come back through the field to win. I just think he's got the pace. He's got everything about him at the moment just seems to be flat out.
I agree. The only thing he's going to have to do, of course, is when you're coming through traffic at Silverstone, we have seen it before, there are pinch points as you come into that final grandstand section. We've seen Turkington be spun around there. We have seen Ingram go there.
He has also, though, this year got three teammates who are willing to fight for him.
Yes, he has. I'm not suggesting any wrongdoing on Robottom's part here, but he has got a little bit of making up to do. So I'll just plant that one there as well.
Yep.
Okay, I mean, I've gone Hyundai heavy as well, to be fair. So I've gone Morgan for a race. Similar to a Proctor, I can see him finishing fourth in race one and finishing first in race two, depending on tyres and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So yeah, Morgan for race two. Well, Morgan for a win, but I think it will come in race two.
And your final one?
Smiley. I think he will get a win before the end of the season, I said it, and I think...
Very Hyundai heavy, wow.
The reverse grid, is my reverse grid winner for me, because I think if he can get... He's had a couple of chances where he's been high up the grid this season on the reverse grid, and it's not quite come off. I think Silverstone is a circuit A, he'll know very well, B, the car will go very well at, and I think that he can, maybe just slide and get that win.
I'm very tempted to change my Jack Sears prediction, bearing in mind what the weather could do. However, that weather could still change between now and then.
The weather, Jack Sears, I don't think really matters so much as the weather.
So I'm going to stick with it, and I've gone for De Leon this weekend.
Okay, I've gone for Osborne.
Yeah, I thought about going for Osborne.
I'm not sure where I am with the BMW. Because
Osborne normally goes well at Silverstone.
He does. I'm just not sure where I am with the BMW. Some weeks, even some races, it looks good. Even at Donington, some races looked really good.
Yep.
Other races looked really flat.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite sure what we're going to get this weekend. And if there is then setup changes, do I trust them to get it right for the change of conditions? It's so hard because if it's starting dry but likely to get wet, what do you do setup wise? Do you put slicks on a wet setup? Do you put wets on a slick setup? I mean, I think that when you've already got a car, you're not fully happy with. I just don't think the more tinkering of the setup. Yep. Yeah, that's why I've gone for Osborne. I just think that car is a bit more stable across the weather conditions if we get them.
Fair enough. We'll move on to our general predictions then.
Yep.
Three each plus a special one.
Now, of course, we can veto each other's here because we haven't actually had a chance to discuss them, but I'm fairly sure you'd be happy.
Mine is very much points-based this week.
Yeah, so am I.
Okay. Nice. So, having done my little bit of research this morning about how many points Ingram had scored, I took out sort of like the first 2 years he was there and worked out how many points he averaged each weekend.
Wow, okay.
Which was about 38.
So when you're averaging... Just because there's different ways of averaging. Are you adding them up and dividing by three? How are you doing it?
I added all the points up, apart from those two, two seasons that he was there. I added up the rest of them, divided it by however many seasons that were to see how many points he got across the weekend, not per race or anything like that. So he averaged about 38. So I've gone for Ingram to score 40 plus points this weekend.
Oh, okay. So you're not doing an average. Of course you can't do an average. Of course you can't. Yeah. Dear. I have a GCSE in maths. Camish outscores Sutton.
I've
just got an inclination he's going to be a bit of a stinker this weekend. I think this weekend goes one or two ways for Sutton. He either wins two and gets another podium, Ingram says, I'm still here, I'm going nowhere, mate, we're taking this to the wire.
Or he just starts down the pan.
it just starts to fade away a little bit. We've seen him in the past where he's gone a bit hard, Alton Park in the past, where he's ended up in a wall. I think Ash knows, this is a very obvious thing to say, he's got to finish in front of Ingram. And at what point does he start to take the risks to do it? And at what point do those risks either pay off or not pay off? So I'm going Camish as a little bit more less to lose and a little bit more conservative of a small C to outscore him.
So I told you, I was speaking about Toyota and Shedden and Aaron Taylor-Smith, and they are involved in my predictions. Mm-hmm. And I've gone for both of them to score 20-plus points this weekend. Because I think they're going to have a strong weekend. They're going to score points, possibly even score points in all three races, just to keep on adding those scores up.
Okay. I've also gone for another points-based one.
Yep.
Ingram to be 40-plus clear at the end of the weekend.
Oh, okay. That's only eight more.
Yeah, but Sutton's still got a score.
Okay.
45? Would you be happier with 45?
I'd be happier with 45.
I'll go 45.
Because at least that's then he has to build, what, a 12-point gap this weekend.
Yeah, okay. I'll go 45 plus.
13. Yeah.
That's fine. I'll go 45 plus. That one I did think we'd have a little bit of debate on, so that's fine.
Yeah, because it's only if you try and look at the points across a weekend, scoring eight more than someone is... quite possible.
Yeah.
I think if you're scoring 13, 14, 15 more, especially a close title rival like that, then credit to you.
That's fine. I'll go 45. That's absolutely fine.
My final one is Mikey Doble on the podium.
Are we talking as an independent winner?
No.
You're talking outright.
I'm talking outright podium.
Back in a minute, lads. I'm just gonna... What?
Yep.
Do you know what? If that happens, I should donate £20 to a charity of your choice.
Because you're going to say I was going to have 2 points for it.
No. I'll donate £20 to a charity of your choice because I love Mikey Doble. I think he's been a real asset to the championship, and I want PMR to do well. Yep. But I just don't see at all.
Wait for the heavens to open.
He
normally gets a rain call, right?
Can I just say, when it rained last, he sort of slid off the circuit on his own, got it a bit wrong and sort of...
He also forgot to start in the right grid position one time.
Yeah.
We scrap over that, though. He's going to have a really good weekend, and...
I hope it comes off.
He's going to have a podium.
I would happily give you that point, because I want PMR to do well, and I want Dover to work. What you were saying earlier about how many people you've got to finish ahead, and I just don't see it, mate. I'm sorry, that is...
I think if he finishes in... a reverse grid position, he would then be able to just about hold on to a podium.
The Cooper's not got the race pace for me. look, I've never wanted you to get a prediction right more.
No, that makes a change.
But I don't see that at all, mate. I really don't.
What is your final one, mate?
Cook to outscore Lloyd and Doble. Not combined. He'll just outscore... I can't just go for one both driver. So he'll outscore... Okay. It's not a combined thing.
No.
But he'll outscore both those drivers.
Individually.
This weekend. Yes.
Right. Okay.
I thought I can't just go for one because that's a bit too... Yeah. So I should go for two to make it a little bit more interesting.
We'll see. And our final special one this weekend is down to the safety car. We haven't seen many of them this year.
No, we haven't.
In my books. And...
Well, not on the books. They're on the track.
And if we're going to get some changeable conditions, then we could certainly have some drivers exiting into the scenery left, right and centre.
Yes.
I think we're probably going to see a safety car this weekend. And I've gone for 6 laps worth.
I've gone for 5.
Have you?
5. It's a really tricky one because it's a short circuit. So if there's a big accident, you're going to get lots and lots of laps. But if there's not a big accident... Mm-hmm. You're going to get very little laps, obviously. And as you say, we've not seen the safety car an awful lot this season. No. And also at Silverstone, I'm tempting fate here, I know. There's not many places where a car goes, if you go, right, we have to throw a safety car. There's a lot of places where they can go, okay, we can cover that under yellows, or there's a lot of runoff where they'll be okay.
Especially in the wet.
Yeah, but it might not rain.
I know.
How many times have we gone, it's going to rain all weekend and we get sunburn?
Yeah, true.
Look, Sam, I
think if
we record this on a Tuesday, the BBC would have changed the weather forecast 18 times by the time you've put this out to edit.
I think if we get any sort of conditions that are changeable, yes. I'm going to put it down to that, then we could see drivers going off. And we know how tight the complex is.
The only problem with that, again, though, is that if they go off, there's not a lot of gravel, so they can probably get back on 9 times out of 10.
Or they've hit a wall.
Well, yeah, small details. but Moffat hit a wall at Donington and just drove on, as did Osborne, and just sort of carried on.
Yeah, but we still got safety car, because Procter we yeeted did. It.
Yes. Yeah, but one out of three ain't bad. Or 2 out of 3, sorry, to get back on track ain't bad.
But yeah,
should we get back on track?
We'll see how those predictions come in. Do let us know yours down in the comments as well, and the drivers that you think might take a win this weekend, and who's going to take home the Jack Sears title for the weekend. We might have to start doing independents next year.
We might have to do that, absolutely. Obviously, a reminder, I am there this weekend. Mm. By all means, say hello. Or
don't get too wet.
Thank you very much.
I am looking forward to sitting on the sofa and watching.
Try not to fall asleep, because you're going to be doing the heavy lifting on the review.
And get all my notes written up.
Be very helpful indeed. But I will be there. I'm looking forward. I don't necessarily like the racing at Silverstone. I do like Silverstone as a venue. Because
really good for viewing.
Yeah, it's good for viewing, and you get more things tend to turn up at Silverstone as well. So it'll be a little bit of, hopefully, a bit of stuff for the fans to do between races. And actually, just before we round this up, there is actually a decent, packed weekend. So in terms of the touring cars, race one is at 11:30, race two at 2:40, and race three at 5:10. And then in the support categories this weekend, we have Porsche Carrera Great Britain, which has been okay.
Yep.
This season. We have Porsche Carrera Sprint.
Okay.
We have F4s.
Yes.
And we have what I refer to as the proper minis, as in the ones, the
JCWs.
The ones that are at most of the events. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. JCW.
So in fairness, that is a pretty packed timetable. Yeah. It's good to see. We need to have these support races filling the gaps rather than sort of wandering around drinking overpriced beer. So yeah, happy to have a fuller schedule this weekend.
Yeah, we'll be back again early next week with a review. Obviously, we've got to fit it around our darts. But yeah, we'll work something out and bring you all up to date with the action that comes from this weekend.
Enjoy the racing.
Bye-bye.